Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. In many ways, God is incomprehensible. He is so vast that our tiny minds cannot fathom His immensity. Theologians have wrestled with the nature of God for centuries, trying to sort out how the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit relate to each other. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on the mysteries of God. Now, join us for a look at the triunity of God.
My subject today is the Trinity. We're on a series entitled The Mysteries of God, and many people think that the Trinity is a problem to be solved. They do not understand that it leads us into the depths of God's love in such a way that not only do we know God better, but we worship Him better with gladness and joy. That's where this message is leading. Gladness and joy. No matter how hard your week has been, we're on our way to great blessing. Thanks for joining me on the journey. When I was in Istanbul many years ago, a devout Muslim guide said to me, even apart from religion and all of the differences that we have, he said, the Trinity makes no sense to me at all, because really what you're saying is 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. I want to say to the Muslim friends who may be with us today, you are very welcome, and I'd love to have some feedback after this message today, and we're glad that you're here, and I hope that hundreds of Muslims, ideally thousands, would listen to this message to help the Muslim neighbors of ours to distinguish between Christianity and Islam. And because Islam has such a great emphasis on a one-person God, I'm going to be making that comparison from time to time in this message. In Christianity, what is very clear is, number one, there's only one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and the word one there in Hebrew means already a plurality. For example, it says, same word, Adam and Eve, and they became one flesh. So you can see here that even in the Old Testament, there were hints about the plurality of the Godhead. So there's only one God, but it's also clear that the Father is not the Son, the Son is not the Father, the Spirit is not the Father, the Spirit is not the Son. They have distinctiveness, and that's why we use the word personality. May not be the best term, but it's the best we have to contemplate as far as we can the hiddenness of who God is. Now, what about the charge that we believe in a contradiction? You know, 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. Of course we don't believe that. Nobody can believe a contradiction. If I had to believe a contradiction to accept Christianity, I'd have to reject Christianity because it would be irrational. Let me help you here by an illustration. We have one government in the United States. We have one government here, and yet the government does exist in three branches. You have the executive branch, the judicial branch, and the legislative branch. And you have all that, and nobody would say, well, you know, you really have three governments here. No, we don't. In the very same way, we don't have three gods either. We're not saying that God exists as God, fully God, in three different kinds of gods. We're saying that God is one. Maybe this will help you. God exists with three centers of consciousness. God exists with three centers of consciousness so that even though there is one God, they exist in three persons, three centers of consciousness. Now, as we begin this, I do want to say that John 17, I'm going to be referring to it from time to time, and you may turn there if you wish, John 17, and I'll be commenting on the last part of the chapter, perhaps through this message, and particularly when we get to the end, so you can open your Bibles to John 17. I want to say also that a couple of weeks ago, a person gave me an idea to read a little book entitled The Good God by Michael Reeves. I read that book. It's an exposition, really, of the Trinity, and I have to say that many of his ideas are in this message today. Ideas that I've always known, but he said them more clearly than I had ever heard them before. So with that intro, let's plunge in. Let's ask God to keep us focused, because remember what the goal is to know God as far as he can be known in this life, and then that will continue for all eternity. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So we are on a quest, and we're on that quest together. First of all, a couple of comments regarding God the Father. God the Father. Now, I want to ask you a question. How long has God been a father? Was this a new idea to him? Well, the answer, of course, from the scripture is no, he has been a father from all eternity. He has been a father for as long as he existed, because the Son is eternal. And so throughout all eternity, the Father has loved the Son. Love is not some new idea. It is part of who God is. What this means is that God's primary identity is not power. Now, he has power. He's known as the Almighty God, but his primary identity is love. He has always loved. He has always been a father. Now, if you believe in a one-person God, then you could say that throughout all the ages before creation, this one-person God was loving no one, perhaps himself, but basically loving no one. And therefore, when he appears on the scene and chooses to create, his primary identity is one of power and might. You had better obey me or I'll send you to hell. That's the kind of God in a one-person God who never knew love or loved throughout all of eternity. The Father's primary chief identity is love. And also this Father who has loved the Son is going to create other sons and daughters. And we come into the picture at that point. But let's move on to God the Son. Well, we've already said that he's an eternal Son. The folks who show up at your door and say that Jesus was created, they miss it. Yes, he is spoken of as a son, but that does not mean that he is indeed limited by time or that he had a beginning. It's the imagery that is used to help us to understand the relationship of the two members of the Trinity. So it's very important to realize that he is the eternal Son, having existed as long as God. If there was a time when the Son didn't exist, there'd be a time when God wasn't loving. And no such time ever existed, because he is eternal. Now, at this point, we have to help our Muslim friends understand something, that when we call Jesus the Son of God, we certainly do not mean that God had a sexual relationship with Mary and the result was Jesus. That would be as abhorrent to us as it would be to anyone in any religion. That is not at all what we believe. That would be distinctly pagan. What we believe is that when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, that this divine nature of the eternal Son was joined to humanity, so that he could redeem us. I am so excited about next message in this series. I don't know. Along the way, I might tell you about it. It is just blowing me away. But I want you to concentrate on the Trinity for a few moments here. Now, the point is this, that Mary, therefore, she gave birth to a child who has a divine nature and a human nature. And by the way, he still has that human nature. That's why in the glory we shall someday see Jesus. And I have no doubt that we're actually going to be seeing the nail prints in his hands. He will be a man throughout all of eternity, but he'll also be divine. So the Son's chief identity is what? The Son's chief identity is to do the Father's will. The delight of Jesus when he was here on earth, repeatedly he says, I delight to do thy will, O God. If we had time, we'd turn to the last verse of the 14th chapter of John, where Jesus said, I always do whatever the Father wants. And when Jesus did what the Father wanted, when the Father was pleased, the Son was pleased. That was his greatest delight, is to please the Father. So the Father is the one who loves, and the Son is the beloved one. When Jesus was baptized, the words were, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What a wonderful way to describe this relationship. He is the one who is beloved of the Father. Remember, the Father's chief identity is to love. And God loved the world and sent his Son. I'll comment on that in a moment. What about the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit, the Father gives the Holy Spirit to the Son. And this happened, as you know, at the baptism of Jesus. And Jesus goes forth in the strength and power of the Holy Spirit to do miracles. So what you always have is members of the Trinity in love, in honor, and pleasing one another for as long as God existed. And that's a very long time.
Yes, my friend, as I frequently emphasize, the only way that God can be a redeeming God is to exist as the Trinity. And we are so fortunate in Christianity because we have a God who can actually redeem us, a God who loves us, and a God who actually came to this earth that we might be redeemed. Let me ask you a question. How would you like to be on a cruise that begins in Switzerland, goes up the Rhine River, and along the way we stop in various sites in Germany and France, and it will be my privilege, God willing, to do teaching on that cruise. I'm going to be talking about Adolf Hitler, what we can learn from Nazi Germany. I'm going to be speaking about Martin Luther and the Reformation in Germany and its impact. All of this is going to be a learning experience. Of course, hopefully it will also be a fun experience, a time when we build fellowship together and in the process understand our roots and the importance of the gospel in our particular culture. You know, I often say that we understand the present and the future best when we understand the past. Now, here's what you can do. Go to moodymedia.org. That's moodymedia.org, and you click on the tour button. And all the information that you need will be there, and I sure hope that you can join us because as we have an experience like this, we'll come back changed with more courage and more desire to spread the gospel that had at one time a great impact in Europe.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing the Triunity of God, the fourth in an 8-part series of messages on the mysteries of God. Next time, we'll clarify the roles of the Father and Son, focusing first on how Jesus spoke of his Father in heaven. The Mysteries of God can be yours on CD. All 8 messages will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.